From the Chattahoochee Tech Studio, welcome to the Marietta Daily Journal podcast. Today is Thursday, February 24th, and on this day in 1955, Steve Jobs was born.
Now, how do we do this? Well, we start with a strong foundation. iPhone runs OS 10.
I'm Dan Ratcliffe, and here are your top stories presented by Credit Union of Georgia. The Senate approved the Vining Cityhood Bill. Georgia Democrats are still fighting against the Republican redistricting. Governor Kemp signed the City of Lost Mountain Bill. Raymond Goslow from KSU finished second on Jeopardy. A fire destroyed another barn in Marietta. And finally, an Austell woman was hit and killed while trying to cross I-285. Plus, we make a run over to Dry County Brewing Company to learn about them and how they stepped up during the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic.
You were, you know, unfortunately in a hospital during the early days of COVID. There were large 15-gallon drums of Dry County sanitizer everywhere, which it was cool to see, you know, to have those guys come pick up from us and know that it was going out and hopefully making a positive impact on the community, which is...
You deserve better than your bank. Better service, better rates, better solutions. If you live or work in Cobb County, now is the perfect time to make the switch to the Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank. Since 1960, Credit Union of Georgia has been providing Northwest Georgia with financial solutions that make sense for your home, business, and family. As a homegrown, not-for-profit cooperative, our members are our mission. Not only will you get the best loan rates, you'll get personalized customer service from people who understand your needs. Plus, Credit Union of Georgia provides real convenience with a network of more than 30,000 accessible ATMs and branch locations across the country. Of course, there's also 5 locations right here in Cobb County. Ready to see how much better your banking can be with Credit Union of Georgia? Become a member today or apply for a loan online by visiting www.cuofga.org. Credit Union of Georgia, the better way to bank. The bill to create the city of Vinings is headed to the governor's desk after the Senate approved it. Senators voted 33-19 to advance House Bill 840. Vinings is the third of Cobb's 4 cityhood efforts to pass both chambers, just like Lost Mountain and East Cobb. Vinings plans to hold a May referendum and will aim toward electing its local leaders in November. Those leaders would include a mayor and 4 city council members. Vinings has proposed a very modest slate of service. Parks, zoning, and code enforcement are the only departments on offer.
Representative democracy in USA. We elect legislators. That's how laws are made. 435 reps in Congress means 435 districts among us. But how do we decide who represents who? We draw lines on a map.
Georgia Democrats broadened their opposition Tuesday to the Republican-led local redistricting process, bringing in lawmakers from across the state to condemn what they say is an unprecedented power grab by the GOP. Cobb legislators were joined at a press conference by legislators from Gwinnett, Richmond, and Chatham counties. In all 4, Republican lawmakers have broken with precedent and advanced county commission and school board maps without the majority approval of their local delegations. In Cobb, the commission map has drawn sitting Democratic Commissioner Jerrica Richardson out of her district, so she may not be allowed to serve when the maps take effect in 2023. Republicans have maintained for weeks that Democratic issues with both the process and the substance are unfounded. They argue that no maps can be made law without majority approval of both the House and Senate, both of which they control. Governor Brian Kemp has signed the bill creating a new city of Lost Mountain, which means there will be a May 24th referendum. Now the voters of the nearly 75,000 resident area will be left to settle the question for themselves in May. Governor Kemp's signature follows final approval of the bill by the Georgia House of Representatives on Tuesday on a 98-64 margin. House Bill 826 had already passed both chambers, but was required to return to the House after an amendment in Senate committee. K
Kennesaw State University's Raymond Goslow placed second in the Jeopardy! National College Championship Tuesday night. Jeskaran Singh of the University of Texas at Austin won, finishing with a score of $51,700 and winning the $250,000 grand prize. Goslow finished with a second-best $46,999, and Liz Feltner of Northeastern University finished last. Goslow still took home $100,000 for placing second in the final round. Congratulations, Raymond. Cobb County Watershed Stewardship Program will have an amphibian monitoring workshop on April 7th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Cobb County Water Quality Lab in Marietta. Cobb residents can be trained as citizen herpetologists and learn to identify frogs, toads, and salamanders by their habitat, morphology, and vocalizations. Certified monitors will be allowed to collect data on local amphibian populations and contribute to both regional and global studies of amphibian diversity.
Engineered Solutions is your locally owned and operated commercial and residential foundation company that specializes in foundation repair, basement waterproofing, and crawl space encapsulation.
I'm consumer investigator Dale Cardwell. I've done the research already, so you don't have to.
678-ESOG-NOW. It all started with one location on Austell Road in Marietta 18 short years ago. The bakers for Georgia's Best Donuts, Dough in the Box, would arrive and hand-make varieties of donuts the community would instantly love. Now with over 52 varieties, two locations in Cobb, and one on Fulton Industrial Boulevard, Dough in the Box welcomes you to try Georgia's Best Donuts and start your own family donut tradition. Visit us and see Dough in the Box. You can't eat just one. Open really early, Tuesday through Sunday from 5 a.m. to 2 p.m. Or visit us online at doughinthebox.com. You can't eat just one Dough in the Box. Your new tradition begins today.
Be sure to call 404-997-8655 for your chance to win a dozen donuts from Dough in the Box. Early Monday morning, firefighters from Marietta and Cobb County responded to a large barn fire on Bentley Lake Road in Marietta, where a similar structure burned to the ground just 6 months ago. Marietta firefighters were notified of the blaze at 2:18 a.m., and the fire lasted an hour until the department was able to contain it. No injuries were reported. A 20-stall horse barn with three tack rooms was destroyed. 6 months ago, a similar situation occurred when Alice Summerhour was coming back from a Marietta McEachern football game. At that time, she noticed a fire truck blocking a road, believing a neighbor might have been the victim of a fire. Later that evening, while scrolling Facebook, she learned that it was actually her property that caught fire. In both cases, she wasn't alerted to the fire on her property by authorities. In the first case, she saw photos of her property on social media, and she wasn't aware of Monday's fire until contacted by the MDJ. The Cobb County Fire Department's investigation is ongoing. A 20-year-old Austell woman died Monday attempting to walk across I-285 after a wreck. Shamari L. Fluellen crashed into the median wall. Shortly after crashing, her vehicle was hit in the rear by another vehicle. She then attempted to cross over to the right shoulder when she was struck by several vehicles. The crash happened shortly before 10 p.m. Ms. Fluellen was pronounced dead on the scene, while the woman driving the Jeep, 36-year-old Trelawney D. Taylor of Atlanta, did not require medical attention. Investigation is ongoing. Anyone with information on the collision is asked to contact the police. And now community reporter Matt Golden sits down with Trey Sinclair of Dry County Brewing to learn a bit more about the brewery and distillery and how they stepped up to help Georgia during the early days of COVID-19.
So here is Trey Sinclair from Dry County Brewing. Trey, how are you doing today?
Doing good. Appreciate you coming out.
Absolutely. So you have a really nice facility out here.
I appreciate it. First time out?
It's first time out here. Yes, sir.
Very cool. Glad to have you. So Dry County Brewing, we got started back in 2016. We started here in Kennesaw. Kennesaw's been home from day one. This is kind of when we were starting the brewery, putting together a business plan. This is where we wanted to be. I got into craft beer drinking Terrapin beer out in Athens, Georgia when I was in college, and moved to Kennesaw afterwards. Kennesaw is also a college town, obviously, and when I moved here at the time, there were no local breweries, so I just kind of wanted to bring that feel and that connection that I had with Terrapin out in Athens here to Kennesaw. So that's kind of what we started out and set out to do. You know, the business has changed over the years. We've added spirits, we've added cider, we've added seltzers. Alcohol as an industry continues to change, so we do a little bit of everything now. But yeah, it got started back in 2016, operate the tap room here in Kennesaw, and distribute our product around the state.
Okay, awesome. So you talked about Kennesaw being a college town. You know, how's the relationship with the university? Do y'all get a lot of students that come out here, a lot of students that buy the products?
Yeah, for sure. I think that number is growing every year just as more brand awareness gets out there. When we first opened up the doors, that's kind of what I expected the taproom to be, was a, more of a college environment, lots of college students. And really, I was honestly, you know, pleasantly surprised. It was just a lot more of the local community getting out here, folks from all walks of life. But yeah, we're, you know, on a Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, we've got a pretty heavy KSU contingency up here in the taproom. For sure, and purchasing the products here locally in Kennesaw as well, and just continues to grow as awareness grows.
That's great. And I know, you know, down the road we've seen Kennesaw State football grow a tremendous amount. Have y'all seen, you know, anything from that? A lot more people stopping by to get load up for the tailgate.
For sure. We do. We're all big KSU football fans here at Dry County, and we do everything we can to partner with the athletics and with tailgaters and with all of that. So we host a lot of informal tailgates here at the brewery, kind of pregame and postgame type of stuff. The Owl Club is a great entity that deals with tailgating for KSU athletics. We partner with them a good bit. We're actually the official craft beverage of Kennesaw State Athletics, so we've got a long-term deal with them. Do a lot of promotion with athletics to try to get out there. COVID obviously makes that a little trickier than pre-COVID time, but yeah, do everything we can to support them. That especially on the football side, that program has been incredibly impressive.
And so now, is, you know, the products, are they only available in the brewery, or can you find them elsewhere in the area, or can you find them elsewhere in the state even?
Yeah, only available in Georgia. That's something we're really big on. We don't leave the state borders. We're a Georgia brewery and distillery here for Georgia consumers. We take pride in being from Kennesaw and from Georgia, but you can find them in all corners of Georgia. So I'll be down in Savannah in a couple weeks. We sell product down there. You can go, you know, up to the Tennessee border, Carolinas, Alabama, Florida borders, all those borders, and find out whether it's Augusta, Columbus, whatever it may be. But we do distribute only in the state, and obviously a heavier concentration in that Cobb and Cherokee kind of area corridor where we are right here. But yeah, we do. You can find our products all over.
Awesome. And so, you know, about 2.5 years ago, I guess, we got thrown a huge curveball with COVID. You know, owning, operating a brew house, how did y'all have to kind of change to stay going during that?
Yeah, man, it was everything changed, right? As I'm sure was the case with multiple industries. You know, early days when bars and restaurants shut down, and you know, whether it was through a government mandate or not, shut down effectively. That's a big portion of our business is selling to bars and restaurants, kegged beer and canned beer. So overnight, half our business was gone. We shifted to the grocery stores and independent package stores and stuff like that as quickly as we could, made as much canned beer as we could. So that was a huge shift. You know, our tap room where we're sitting right now is a big, you know, cash flow generator for us as well. And that was effectively shut down as well. So we had to shift gears. We were fortunate enough to be in a position where we make distilled spirits here. We've got our canned vodka drinks and our old fashions and things like that. So being in the distilled spirits game, we had the opportunity to shift gears completely and start making hand sanitizer. So we actually deferred all of our liquor production over to hand sanitizer alcohol and made that, gave it away free of charge here in the tap room throughout COVID, and then actually signed a contract with the state of Georgia to distribute it to local hospitals. So
wow.
if you were, you know, unfortunately in a hospital during the early days of COVID, there were large 15-gallon drums of Dry County sanitizer everywhere, which it was cool to see, you know, to have those guys come pick up from us and know that it was going out and hopefully making a positive impact on the community, which is, you know, something we tried to do every day, but obviously got magnified during COVID time.
Yeah, and that's awesome to take, you know, one product that you're well known for and finding a way to converting it to something to help people. That's great. So as we've kind of gotten into more, you know, COVID becoming normal, kind of post-COVID, Are you still finding different challenges, or is things starting to get a little bit more normalized?
It's a great question, and honestly, you know, in a lot of ways, 2021 was more challenging than 2020. And in 2020, there were a lot of, you know, a rallying around each other in terms of, you know, everybody understood that, you know, you had the PPP going out there, you had, you know, debt forgiveness, and you had renter's forgiveness, and you had all this stuff going on where everybody understood, hey, the world is a different place now. 2021, rightfully so, everybody had to get back to business to some extent, right? So you didn't have that, a lot of, you know, the supply chain issues that have been going on, you know, freight is through the roof, raw material costs are up, supply chains are in shambles. You had all that going on, kind of doom and gloom scenario. You know, we've been very fortunate from a labor standpoint. Our team here is great. We've had no trouble, but we've got, you know, a lot of our customers, whether it's big package stores or grocery stores or bars or restaurants, they're struggling to staff. And so they're having to cut hours or do things like that. So naturally, then our product sells less. So, you know, it's been, and now you've got inflation going on and so forth. So 2021 was a challenging year in many respects, for different reasons than 2020. But we definitely have, you know, I think the silver lining in both years is we've felt that kind of sense of community and rallying around us from Kennesaw, Cobb, Georgia, the whole state kind of rallying around ourselves and other local craft and local producers. I think local is more important now than it's ever been, more prevalent now than it's ever been. And I think that's an awesome thing for not just our industry, but every industry.
And so, you know, you talk about kind of local breweries kind of rallying with each other. Do y'all ever collaborate with any other breweries? Do y'all have any kind of deals with those?
Yeah, we, from time to time, and especially, unfortunately, a lot more before COVID. COVID kind of put a halt on, like, you know, other breweries coming into our facility or us going into other breweries' facilities. But that is one of the really cool things about craft beer in general and craft spirits in general, is the sense of community more than competition, and that we do partner with each other and brew with each other. We've brewed beers with a handful of other Georgia breweries. They've all been extremely fun to do and fun to drink. We also partner with a local trade organization called Bottle Share, which is a nonprofit that we brew collaboration beers with nonprofit with Bottle Share once or twice a year, and 100% of the proceeds from those beers go back to the industry. So individuals that work for breweries or wineries or distilleries that come on hard times, whether it's a house fire or medical bills or whatever it may be, 100% of the proceeds from those beers go to those individuals, and Bottle Share does the funding for those, which is really cool. So it's a great organization with a lot going on that would be awesome for people to check out.
Definitely. That's awesome. So, you know, a thing I've noticed kind of in craft beer is that you've got really almost, it feels like, two kind of people you're having to market to. There's people that are beer heads that, you know, they want the IPAs that are super hoppy. They want, like, good beer. And there's a lot of people that want kind of everything about beer, but they don't want it to taste like beer. So, like, how do you kind of, you know, balance making two products that are kind of on different ends of that spectrum?
Yeah, that's also a great question. I mean, the industry and the kind of the consumer profile is broadening and you know, fairly complex, and that 10, 15 years ago, craft beer was kind of the first person you talked about, right? It was that, in an endearing way, craft beer nerd, right? I was that. I was a craft beer nerd. You know, what type of hops are in this? What grains are you using? What yeast are you using? Wanted to know the process and the flavor profile and all of that. And that consumer still exists, and we love that consumer, and we make a lot of taproom-only beers that are small batch and limited for those consumers, right? We've got a black IPA on right now, which is delicious. We've got a Doppelbock on right now, which are delicious. Neither one of those styles would do great in a commercial market where we're trying to sell it in a grocery store or something, which is where then you have the other consumers, right, which are the, you know, something easy drinking and approachable. And then you've got consumers that they want crazy flavors, intense flavors, right? They want all the things you were talking about, and so it's, how do you approach each of those? Our approach, right or wrong, our strategy, right or wrong, has been, when a consumer wants those crazy flavor profiles or a ton of fruit, we typically go outside of beer and go beyond beer, go to what's called ready to drink cocktails, canned cocktails, and we think a lot of times that's what the consumer is going to enjoy most, as a cocktail rather than a beer. And so we do that. We make spirits and we make beer and we make cider. When folks want those traditional beer flavored beers, that's when we lean on our beer brands and try to go there. So not to say we don't ever kind of cross the aisle on both sides, but But that's kind of been our approach to it. Everybody takes a different way, but you're exactly right. There's a lot of consumers, different consumers in the craft beer space now.
And so y'all were one of the first to actually be a brewery and then also begin distilling spirits. What kind of led y'all to start that, to take that chance with that?
Yeah, it was a couple things. It was one, what we just talked about, people wanting these different flavors that we just felt like, I don't want to, you know, adulterate the beer in that way and add this or that or whatever to a very well-made blonde ale or a very well-made lager. I'd rather just make the cocktail that I think the person wants, right? And then state law in Georgia is that you can only sell in your tap room what you produce in your tap room. So we can't bring in a Jack and Coke or a Tito's and soda or whatever, even if we wanted to. So in 2017, really started looking at, you know, we opened in 16, we were getting people in the tap room, and back to being in a college town, you're getting a lot of Kennesaw State students in the tap room asking for, you know, a vodka Red Bull or whatever it may be, trying to figure out legally, how can we service these people and give them what they want? Cause that's, as a business, that's what we should be trying to do. And it really came down to, if you want to serve them vodka, you have to make vodka on site. And so we went down that path of, how can we do that? How can we get our distilling permit and license? And it was illegal at the time, or not allowed at least at the time in Georgia. And so, yeah, we did. We pioneered that, you know, with our team and our legal team, and worked with the state of Georgia and the Department of Revenue for about a year. And in 2018, got some regulations clarified to where breweries were allowed to also be distilleries. And we were the first in Georgia, as far as we know, ever in the history of the state, to produce beer and produce spirits on the same site. So that was really cool, and spirits have done great for us since then. They make up almost half our business now as a company. So we're definitely excited about that. But it really all just spawned out of giving the consumer what we think the consumer wants, and not trying to, you know, fit a square peg in a round hole type of deal.
And so, you know, with the, I know the beers, you know, you say we're in grocery stores and such. Are the spirits, are those only on site, or can you actually get at a liquor store and get those?
You can go to a liquor store and get those. Again, Georgia laws are different than a lot of states, so you can't buy liquor in, or spirits in grocery or in convenience, in a gas station, things like that. That's only beer and wine, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of places where you can buy our beer that you can't legally buy our spirits. So the biggest places you can buy our spirits are going to be the tap room, obviously, and then in the on-premise bars and restaurants. And then when you talk off-premise, package stores and the such, it's independent liquor stores for the most part. You know, we're in Kennesaw here. There's a big Total Wine. You've got folks like Hops, Crane, and Vine, and Local Vine, and places like that around here that sell a lot of it as well. Bullocks and Sherlock's and all that. I'm just going to give plugs to everybody. But yeah, those type of independent package stores are where you're going to find our products.
All right. So what are your favorite, you know, your favorite beers y'all make, your favorite spirits?
Yeah, that's like asking your favorite child, right?
Right.
So it's a loaded question, but, you know, I'm impartial to our Dry County IPA, which is our flagship. That was the first beer we ever brewed. That was an old homebrew recipe of mine back in the day, brewing it in my basement type of deal. And it's changed over the years, you know, from homebrewing to being commercial. But Dry County IPA is kind of a classic bitterness in your face American IPA, which a lot of the IPAs today, and we brew a lot of them too, are shifting towards that hazy, juicy, tropical, which are delicious. But I like that Dry County IPA stands out as kind of that classic. So it's there. Our Lechuza Mexican Lager is one of our more popular beers. Very easy drinking and approachable, almost like a Modelo style Mexican lager. So I enjoy that, especially we're getting an unusual warm February day today. That's a good one to go to. And then, you know, blueberry lemonade, you know, I'll make the list short, but blueberry lemonade, that was the first canned cocktail in Georgia, and something I'm really proud of just from an innovation standpoint on our team. So that's a go-to, and you can find it at a ton of places. You know, that was a really cool moment for me to be able to drink a blueberry lemonade at a Braves World Series game, right? Like, that's something as a kid in Georgia, you dream about as a Braves World Series. And so to be able to drink one of your products there, that is really cool. So I'm thankful for that product in that way. But yeah, the list goes on.
So y'all are in the Braves Stadium now.
We are with the in the postseason push there. The blueberry lemonade was doing really well. I might credit it as the good luck charm for how we won the World Series. But yeah, so that's a pretty cool thing as well.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So you said you started doing this in your basement in college. I mean, how do you get into that, because I've known people to try to get into it, and just they don't turn it into anything like this.
Right. Yeah, I guess I was just that crazy or that intoxicated. I don't know. But no, I got into craft beer just drinking Terrapin beer in college, and then just got hooked on the art and the science of homebrewing, and got into homebrewing very early on in college, and started trying to replicate recipes and replicate styles and beers. And, you know, I wanted to be able to brew every Terrapin beer myself in my college apartment, and Sweetwater beer, and so on and so forth. So just got hooked on it. And then, you know, honestly, my college buddies kept me going because they liked having free beer for them. So, it was a hobby that they supported. And, again, when I moved to Kennesaw after graduating, there were no breweries around here, and I was really big into homebrewing, and I'd gotten into the craft beer scene, and, you know, meeting and talking and hanging out with some of the other brewery owners and brewers and so on and so forth. And, you know, it was kind of like I was working a great 9-to-5 job that I enjoyed and loved, and liked the coworkers in the company, but it was one of those things of, when you look back in 50 years, what do you want to have done? You know, is it work that 9-to-5, or is it chase what you're actually passionate about? And that's our thing here is make your run is kind of our slogan. So, you know, make your run is in the literal sense. If you live in a dry county and you want a beer, you make a beer run, right? You make your run. But in the more figurative sense, the metaphor is, you know, chase your dream, follow your passion. And that's what we hopefully, you know, we exist to inspire folks to make their run, chase their dreams, follow their passions. It doesn't have to be as crazy as making craft beer for a living, but whatever it is that you're passionate about, chase it and do it. And that's what we hope that, you know, you're formulating those business plans, formulating those plans and that strategy while you're drinking some of our product. You know, that is the thing that would make me the most inspired and the happiest, is to know that folks are doing that out there with our product today.
That's amazing. And so now, if I understand, y'all are opening a second location.
We are. So we've been working for a long time, longer than I would have liked to, on opening a second location in downtown Kennesaw. So we're not moving far. We'll be in downtown about a mile and a half from where we are right now. And that's driven by a couple things. One is, when we opened the brewery here at Lockhart Drive, where we're sitting, at the time, tap rooms weren't really a thing in Georgia. It was illegal to sell beer in a tap room. You could sell a tour with some samples. But because of that, this spot that we're sitting in is very industrial feeling. It's designed to be a production brewery, and then, yeah, there's the add-on of a tap room. We know we can give a better and superior customer experience with more of a retail-focused tap room, and so that is something that we're working on doing, as well as we've been fortunate enough that our production side keeps growing, and people keep drinking more and more of the product. So, you know, we're in a four-sided building here, and we need to expand into the tap room with production equipment and put a bunch of stainless steel over here in order to keep Georgia as thirsty as they are, fulfilled with Dry County. So it's kind of a twofold, two-sided equation there. We've got I would tell people to always go and check out our website on different events we've got going on. We do a couple different cornhole leagues up here, which are really fun and get a lot of attention. St. Patrick's Day is obviously going to be coming up not too distant future, and we always have a really big party for that. So we have a St. Patrick's Day special beer that'll be coming out and launching, so people should be on the lookout for that. We've also have later in February, I can't say the exact details, but we've got a canned cocktail launching later in February that'll be taproom only. So a lot of different products coming, and definitely excited for all those.
When you have experienced the loss of a loved one, you can trust Carmichael Funeral Home to guide you through the arrangements necessary to create a meaningful ceremony that celebrates the unique life being honored. At Carmichael Funeral Homes in Smyrna and Marietta, our staff is committed to providing your family with the highest quality care and service in your time of need. In addition, we take pride in our responsibility to lighten your burden as you take the first steps toward healing. No matter what your choice, we believe in lives lived well. Please contact us with any questions regarding your pre-arrangement requests. At Carmichael Funeral Homes in Smyrna and Marietta, individual attention, providing support to the community, healing lives and grieving hearts, and celebrating lives well lived are our privilege to help. Contact us today or visit us online at carmichaelfuneralhomes.com. Celebrating memories you'll always cherish. Carmichael Funeral Homes.
Are you struggling to find the right home in these tough markets? Hi, I'm Jeffrey Drake of Drake Realty, with 7 offices across Metro Atlanta and 2 right here in Cobb County. The real estate market in Cobb County can be competitive. That's why you need a team on your side. My team of over 700 agents is one of the biggest in the county, and we have been turning dreams into realities for 28 years now. Next time you decide to buy or sell in Cobb, trust the team that knows the lay of the land. Visit us online at drakerealty.com.
Thanks for listening to the Marietta Daily Journal podcast. Add us to your Alexa Flash briefing or your Google Home briefing, and be sure to like, follow, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. This podcast is a production of BG Ad Group. Darren Sutherland, executive producer. Jeremy Powell, creative director. Jacob Sutherland, director. Producers Jason Gentarola and Matt Golden. And Kezia May, copywriter. All rights reserved.